Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Amen, and praise God for the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that directs us every step of the way. And he is so vital in our lives. So we had a wonderful Good Friday service, and Pastor Mark had some real nuggets and really good. And so I want to phrase he mentioned was an unexplainable hope. Any of you remember him mentioning that unexplainable hope? And Mary's on her missions journey at the moment. And that was something that she blogged about. She said that there's this unexplainable hope. And I thought, wow, that's something. It's one of those phrases that stop you in your tracks and you think about it. And, you know, just like Pastor was saying this morning, we're living in uncertain times. And we're living in uncertain times. And hope is so vital for people now. People need hope. And you know, even though this world is not at peace, you can be. Yeah, we can be at peace. Even when everything around us is not at peace, we can be at peace. And, you know, it's like you might say, well, how is it possible to even make such a claim? How can you have that? How can you have that unshakable hope? How can you have that unshakable peace? Well, we can have it because of Jesus. And so that phrase, unexplainable hope, really resounded inside of me on Friday night. And, you know, I think that sometimes people just can't really comprehend the hope that knowing Jesus brings. They can't really come to grips with it. They can't comprehend it. And it's because it's so secure in what it is. It's such a secure hope. And it brings an unshakable peace in our present life. We can't go back and change our past. We're living in the present. But Jesus gives us peace in the here and the now. But even more important, that hope gives us peace going into the future. So that no matter what happens, we know that there's peace ahead of us. Ultimately, there's peace. Do you believe that? So to experience that peace, you know, to have that peace and to hold it, we have to have surrendered our lives into the care of Jesus Christ. That is the difference maker. You have to have surrendered your life into his care. That is the thing that makes a difference. There's nothing on earth that can buy you that peace. There's nothing on earth that can buy you that hope. And if you go to the word in Luke chapter 20, you'll know this story. The crafty Pharisees come and they try and test Jesus about taxes, you know. And you know, sometimes I think, why couldn't Jesus have given them a different answer, you know, about our taxes? But anyway, so they come and they test him, and he asks them, whose image is on the coin? And they say, well, it's Caesar's image. And so Jesus says to them, well, give to Caesar what is his, and give to God what is God's. And something amazing happened there. So much happened. Not only did he say, I know what you guys are up to and you're trying to catch me out. But you know what? He, right there in that statement, he delineated two kingdoms. He drew a line down the middle of two kingdoms. And I'm looking for a coin. But anyway, he's saying, I see this. I see this coin. I recognize it. I know what it is. But it's not of my world. It's not of my kingdom. Isn't that powerful? And so they couldn't catch him out at all. And that is the delineation of two kingdoms. And that the resurrection has provided us with a way out. It's provided us with the key to not being trapped in the system of the world. Do you believe that? If we operate within this world system, it'll always extract a greater price from us than we're willing to pay. If any of you ever heard that before, you know that it's just, if you operate in the system of the world, then you're going to be subject to the world system. But when we operate in his kingdom, we're subject to the liberty and the freedom that his kingdom brings. Amen? And anyway, we're not, according to John 18:36, we're not of this world. We're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of it, just like Jesus said. So in Genesis 1:27, it says, we've been made in the image and likeness of God. We resemble him. When we are his, when we've surrendered our lives to him, we bear his image on us and in us. Just like that coin had the image of Caesar on it. When we are his, we bear his image. Yeah? So security is not easy to find these days, not in the world system. And to know this hope that I'm talking about, this unexplainable hope, this secure hope, we must totally trust Jesus. We've got to totally trust him. We've got to know that he won't let us slip from his grasp. He'll never let us go. And I kind of think, here, Joe's my man. Joe, come up here. You know that old overhand grip, Joe, don't you? That one there. Hang on. Have you got me? You got me. No, you haven't. Right, okay. So this grip is like Jesus, is like this hope I have. And sometimes when I begin to lose hope, he's still got me. See that? And then I get, oh, that secure hope again. Oh, and sometimes it fades, but Jesus has always got us. Thank you, Joe, for not dropping me. You know, and that's the power of that hope. That even sometimes when the hope in you maybe ebbs away a little bit, he's still there. There's a firm grip on our life. And I think that when we surrender our life fully, completely to him, you just have this unexplainable feeling that he will never let you go. He'll always be there. So I'm glad that I'm not my own and that he's got me. Amen? The Bible says that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And the price was Jesus' life. And it's the dearest thing in our lives. It has to be the dearest thing. That price, that gift has to be the dearest thing in our lives. Because we'll never receive a gift that compares to it. Amen? Have any of you ever tried to create hope in yourselves? You know, in and of myself, I find that I can't really create hope or sustain hope. I need to find it. I need to draw from somewhere. I need to get it from somewhere. I mean, I can inspire hope in somebody else or something like that. But in and of myself, I can't really create hope. To get what I need, I have to get it from somewhere. I have to draw on something. So on a natural level, yeah, we can live in love and harmony with people, and we can be affirmed by people, we can be accepted by people, we can come to terms with our circumstances, and we can have temporary feelings of security. But it will these things will never transcend into eternity. So we can have a temporary feeling of security when we're here. We can have the love of a family and friends, and we can have affirmation and everything else. But there's only one thing that transcends into eternity, and that's the hope that Jesus provides for us. Amen? So I can only offer hope because I've got the creator of hope inside me. All right? And he wants us to identify our lives with his all the time, all right? Because what he has, I can offer. Only what he gives me can I offer out. When he fills me, I can offer it. When he fills me with hope, I can inspire hope in other people. When he fills me with power, I can help empower other people. But you try doing that and manufacturing that yourself, you can't do it for long. It'll just fail. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have, I give to thee in the name of Jesus. It's only what Jesus gives us that we can give out. Amen? So that res, that empty tomb means that he's given you something. He's given you something. He's given you authority. He's given you power and he's given you dominion. That's what that signifies. Amen? In Romans chapter 6, deja, I'm in the New King James Version. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of the resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." I'm no longer a slave to fear. No longer slaves. "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. 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 I'd like to put some words out into the atmosphere this morning, because words are powerful. Amen. And I would like to, the title of this message is "Convinced?" Question mark. And I'd like to put this out there. How convinced are we of the reality of the victory that Jesus won for us? What does it mean to us? What does it mean to you? And what does it include? Do you know what it includes? How convinced are you of that reality? And I had a conversation with someone this week in a lane close to our home, and it had a profound effect on me. It was one of those conversations that someone says something to you in the middle of the conversation, and you struggle to keep up with the rest of it, because they've just ignited something in your thoughts that sets off this whole process of thoughts, and you're like, man, I don't even remember the rest of what you said, because you said something so profound that that was it. It got me. And this gentleman that I was speaking to was talking about, he goes to another church. He was talking about his minister, and he says, you know, for some people, you know, it's an occupation or it's a job or whatever. He said, but this man is a convinced Christian. And that phrase stopped me in my tracks. Because I've heard of committed Christians, but I've never heard anyone ever use the phrase "convinced Christian" before. And I thought, wow, what, there's something about this. And he explained a little bit about the character of this man, and I thought, wow. So something, there's power in being convinced. There's what's the link here? I don't understand it, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me put it down. So I went to meditate on it, and I thought, this is the message that I need to bring on Resurrection Sunday. And it got me thinking, do convinced Christians have more impact in the lives of those around them, okay? Not necessarily just the people that you know, but on the people in your environment than committed Christians do. Now, I know, I believe it's possible to be a committed Christian and a convinced Christian. I think if you're a convinced Christian, it's a given that you're a committed Christian. But I know lots of people that are committed, but they don't seem entirely convinced. So there's something in this convinced thing. So I thought, well, what is, you hear, persuaded someone, you know, I managed to get someone to agree with this, but I don't often hear the word convinced anymore. And when I heard it in that phrase, convinced Christian, it stopped me. To convince someone is to cause them to believe firmly in the truth of something. But there's more to it than that. The origin of the word convinced comes from the 16th century, and it's a Latin word, and it is convincere. That sounds a bit Italian. Who did Latin at school? Is it supposed to sound Italian? I don't know. Convincere. And it means to overcome or to defeat. It means to conquer. I thought, wow. So this word convinced is linked to victory. This word, there's a link here to conquest in your life. There's a link. I thought, wow, this language is brilliant. One word can change everything. There's a link in our language. To be convinced about something means that you have you've conquered something. You have a conquest over something. And how do we overcome and how do we conquer? How can we defeat hopelessness? How can we defeat our fears? And how can we have peace? The resurrection made all of that possible. And in Colossians 2, it says, sorry, missed out the chapter, but here's the verse. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out, you're forgiven. I want to tell you that this morning, you are forgiven. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us and was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, just like Pastor Mark did on Friday. And here is the most important one. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He disgraced the devil. He just disgraced them. He made, it's like the, you know, when in Roman times, when they conquered another army, the general was in big trouble because they grabbed the top guy, tied him behind a chariot, and they dragged him back into the city. And he was openly mocked and disgraced and rebuked. How do you see your opponent? How do you see your enemy this morning? And I love our illustration in our Bible school manuals. Pastor Theo put this one in there. Can you picture a Roman soldier in front of you? Breastplate, helmet, shield, sword, armor on his feet. Now, immediately think of that soldier without all of that. He's standing there in his loincloth. He's just standing there in his underwear. What a huge difference. What immediately grabs you? How vulnerable. How vulnerable he is. So, if language is so powerful and this word and being convinced is about something, it has such a powerful effect, how does it come about? Well, Satan has no defense against the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the words that we speak. It's the word of God. Amen? That defeats him every single time. He no longer holds the keys of the jail. Okay? You're out of jail. You're out of jail. He doesn't have those keys anymore because they were taken from him. They were taken from him. He's got no more authority over you. He has power. He has power to deceive. He has power to look at the power he has. You can look around you and see the power that he has to influence. But if you've given your life to Jesus, he has no more authority over you. He can't do anything to you. Are you convinced of that this morning?
Yes.
So I'm going to study more on this. I believe there's another message in here, that there's a weightiness to this word, convinced, being convinced. You know, and it brings, being convinced about something brings about a victory. Being convinced of something brings about a victory. And being convinced of something will resurrect life in you and in people around you. That's the power of being convinced by something. You know, if you read the word, you know, there's so many skeptics. In Jesus' time, there were loads of skeptics. There still are. People wouldn't believe, even after Jesus's, when Jesus was on the cross, one of the centurions, something convinced him. And he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this man was the Son of God. And even when he rose, rose from the dead, and there was an empty tomb, they didn't believe. Oh no! How can it be? Still not convinced, and that's why it's so important to be convinced about who we are in Christ. Amen. So, what causes someone to change what they believe in? Because this is the thing that we have to do. We have to convince others to change. You see, people have a belief system that would need to be conquered. And the way to conquer someone's belief system is to convince them. You have to convince them. You have to be confident in yourself. You have to be so sure. You have to have that unexplainable hope. You have to have that deep, unshakable confidence and peace to be entirely convinced. And then I believe that you could go to anyone that has a belief system and you can change their system of beliefs. You can conquer their system of beliefs. So I'm going to finish this message with this scripture. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the enemy. That was his reason. The reason, some translations say, the reason that Jesus came was to destroy the hold that the enemy has over our lives, to destroy the works of the enemy. And the only way that we can convince other people is to be fully convinced ourselves. Do you believe that? So I want to say to you this morning, don't indulge in and don't serve what Jesus himself came to destroy. The world system is there, and we can indulge ourselves in it, but the world system is a different kingdom to the kingdom of Jesus. And I want to say this morning that you can take hold of resurrection power in your life. And if you don't know Jesus, then you can have and you can hold an unshakable hope in the future. You can have and you can hold onto a peace that passes all understanding, that no matter what happens in Korea or Syria or wherever or on our shores, that peace will never leave you and it will never forsake you. You will be convinced and you will know who Jesus is in your life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says there, for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.